So, we're continuing in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, thinking about the words that Jesus said, and what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow the way of Jesus. And we looked at the character through the Beatitudes, we looked at the influence of the Christian through being salt and light, we looked at Jesus' overall relationship to the law, and how he saw himself to that, and now we are continuing in the series of examples of laws and things that he's giving. Basically saying, this is what I mean. Well, this is what the law actually means. This is the spirit behind the law, not the way that you've heard it taught. As always, we have to see these things in the context of which they were written. And Jesus is basically saying, I'm not giving you the law as such, but I'm telling you this is what the law means. This is how we're supposed to live. And so we're coming to the end of this series of examples that he's giving in Matthew chapter 5. And last week we looked at not swearing falsely, in other words, not making a vow for the sake of making a vow, but in fact actually just speaking properly and believing the truth about who God is and about who we are, and as a result speaking the truth to one another, letting our yes be yes and our no, no. And then we come to the passage for today, which... you might think is an appropriate passage. I don't know. I thought it was interesting that the way the planning sort of worked out that we've got this passage for today. So verse 38, Matthew 5, verse 38, we pick it up. And Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil doer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give them your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. This is a fun text. It's a very difficult text. Lots of people over the years have misinterpreted this text. The great Leo Tolstoy wrote a whole book about this. And what he ended up doing was he extended Jesus' meaning to be something that it actually wasn't. So if you think like Tolstoy, I would urge you to not think like Tolstoy after today, please. Because he's actually wrong. It's not what the text actually says. The text, and I'll just give you a list of points here very quickly, about what the text does not say. This text does not say that all Christians should be pacifists. That's not what Jesus is talking about here at all, and you'll understand why in a minute. This text does not say that all Christians should be doormats for people to walk all over. That's also not what this text says. This text doesn't say that Christians should be part of the police force or the armed forces. It doesn't say that either. It doesn't say that Christians shouldn't intervene in somebody else's fight. That's also not what this text is saying. And I'll tell you why. We'll just go through some of the context and the background to understand and ascertain why this text isn't addressing this issue of being passive or being a doormat either. Verse 38, he says, you've heard it said, as an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now this was a command given by God to the nation of Israel to restrict the law of retaliation, or the lex talionosis, or whatever it's called. So it's the law of retaliation. It was given to restrict it. Because here's a great example. Here's an example. Not a great example. None of these examples are great. Here's an example. Say somebody is working, pokes somebody's eye out by accident. That person who's had his eye poked out gets really annoyed and says, do you know what? I'm going to chop your head off. So he ends up chopping the other guy's head off. So the other guy's dead. Now his family, the other guy's family then, has to enact retaliation. You know, they're honor bound to kill a bunch of other people from the other family. So what you ended up is this backwards and forwards, and the killing just didn't stop. There was no restriction. It was absolute chaos. So where would it stop? It just wouldn't stop. So what the law did, this law of eye for eye, tooth for tooth, it restricted the law of retaliation so that you didn't end up with this ridiculous situation with people just killing each other all the time and taking the law into their own hands. And if you read the Old Testament, it's found in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and in Exodus. If you look at it, the context is the judiciary. The law was given to judges, not to the everyday person. This isn't for everyday people to come along and say, oh, eye for eye, you poke my eye, poke your eye out. No, it's not about that. It's actually, it was for legal cases, not for everyday actions. But what had happened with the Jewish, as always, over time, because you know how it's like Chinese whispers, things get misinterpreted. Well, the law had been twisted to include personal disagreements. Now, you can imagine, if you're having personal disagreements and you're always wanting to retaliate like for like, it's a bit ridiculous. I'm sure you've seen comedic sketches where something bad has happened and then they've tried to retaliate like for like. Or you've seen maybe a film or something, or even, heaven forbid, you've experienced revenge in real life. This law was never intended to be interpreted personally, in personal circumstances or relationships. And it's into this chaotic understanding of this text that Jesus speaks, but I say to you, don't resist an evildoer. And so we come really to the heart of what he's saying. And what Jesus does here in this short bit is he gives us four examples to illustrate a principle. He's not giving us law, he's illustrating a principle. These things that he says here in these verses, verse 39, 40, and 41 and 42, they're not law, they're illustrations as of a principle. They're saying effectively that the follower of Jesus won't retaliate when insulted. That the follower of Jesus will be generous with his possessions and his time and his money, etc. So when you look at these things, what really is Jesus getting at? And I think it speaks so clearly into our circumstances in 21st century, Great Britain, America, Europe, etc. The chief problem of our current society is self-centeredness. It's all about me, and I don't really care about you. I'll pretend to, but I don't really. And when you want to retaliate, when something happens to you, you want to retaliate and emphasize my rights. And of course, what's the root of that emphasis, that retaliation? The root is self. And it's not so for the follower of Jesus. He says, you're not supposed to be that way. We're not supposed to emphasize our rights, our things. We'll talk about that a bit later. The follower of Jesus reacts in a different way and acts in a different way. But if we are this selfish, and I'm not saying that any of us here is completely self-centered, but we do have bits of it that take over our lives at times. How can we follow a different way? How can we be not selfish when actually we are this way? And I think what's not said in this passage, but what Jesus goes on later on in Matthew's Gospel, and he also says it in Luke's Gospel, is that we've got to die to self. We've got to put ourselves on the cross. The follower of Jesus is supposed to imitate him. And if you notice, he didn't retaliate when they tried him illegally, when they beat him, when they flogged him, when they spat on him, when they crucified him. He let it happen. All the insults, he let it happen, and then eventually he died. Now, if he could do that for us, how much more ought we be able to suffer and die to self for the sake of the world? And then how we do that, he gives these four examples, these four little cameos, if you like. So the first one is in verse 39. Don't resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Friends, I had a minister friend of mine when he was a teenager. Read this bit, and at school, when a bully got hold of him, punched him in the face, so what did he do? He literally turned his face the other way and got another black eye. That's not what Jesus is saying to do here. That's not what he's saying to do here. He was actually referring to, in that culture, a backhanded slap to the face, which was commonly seen as an insult in those days. So the equivalent today isn't when we're punched in the face, physically. It's if we're insulted by somebody. It's when, for example, someone might call us a name. They might, you know, be cruel to us in some fashion. Insult us for some reason. Perhaps we're at work and we are a good worker and they say, oh, you're a bit of a swat. Or something like that. It's not a literal beating that Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about being literal. We're not supposed to get punched and then wait for him to do it again. He's talking about what you do, what is your reaction when you're punched in the face, insulted. You see, when we die to self, it means that what people say to me is not that important anymore. Because actually, at the end of the day, who cares what they say? We're insulted by others, and often the hurt is only imagined. What Jesus is saying here is, what is your heart response? How are you responding inwardly to that insult? Because 9 times out of 10, when I get insulted, the first thing is I do is get my back up. And I start getting annoyed, and I start getting angry, and I want to have a retaliation. I say, well, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to give them a flipping piece of my flipping mind. That's what we feel inside. But what Jesus is saying is don't have that kind of retaliation in our hearts. We're not supposed to. It's basically, we need to allow our hearts to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that our desire is not to retaliate, but to bless. As Paul says in Romans, bless and don't curse. Two of the commentators, both Lloyd-Jones and John Stott, relay this story of Billy Bray, the boxer from the 19th century who was converted. He was working down the mines in Cornwall, and a certain fellow decided, you know what, I'm going to get the best of this Billy Bray. I'm going to punch him one and see if he retaliates. I'm going to get the real Billy Bray to come out. There's no way he's different. So this idiot decides, yeah, I'm going to punch him one. So he punches Billy Bray. And no matter how much the old Billy wanted to strike back, he turns around and he says to this man, it's all right, I forgive you. And this bloke goes away thinking, what on earth? What's happened to this man? And eventually the story goes that this guy was converted. He came to faith as a result of Billy's, you know, consequence. Now, not all non-retaliation stories go quite as well as that. But Jesus is saying, what's our heart response to being insulted? Are we going to retaliate? Is our inward being wanting to retaliate and say, oh, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind? That's the first thing. Learn to deal with insults. The second thing, don't insist on your rights. We're not supposed to insist on our rights. Verse 40, and if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. Now, this was about suing people for clothes. And the idea was that you wouldn't, you'd never give your cloak, your outward garment. Because basically, if you gave him the coat, that was your shirt, that was fine, but you had your cloak, you can cover yourself. Basically, if you gave him your cloak, you were naked. You were pretty much standing in a nude. And really, what Jesus is saying here, the principle isn't yet, just give all your clothes away so you don't have any clothes. That's not what he's saying. We can't take that literally, it's stupid. What he's saying is it's about your rights. It's about the principles about our rights. We don't need to insist on our rights. Why? Because as followers of Christ, and I say this all the time, we don't have any rights. Why? Who are we to think that we have rights? Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they know they have no rights before God. And that is very much the message across the New Testament. You look at the examples of Peter and Paul and all the other the followers of Jesus who were beaten and abused because of their faith, put into prison and all the rest of it. Because they had no rights. And they didn't care about their rights. It was about the gospel. It was about the king. And so the encouragement of Jesus through this is, we've got to be prepared to abandon our rights, not insist on them. And I think the importance of that comes because if we're so caught up with our personal rights, it means that the rights of other people don't get a look in. It means nobody else has any rights. It means we're not going to be looking to serve and bless other people. Now, what I'm not talking about when an injustice is done to you. If you've had an injustice done to you, you've been raped, abused, if you've been stolen from, your house robbed or whatever, it doesn't mean that you say, oh, well, I don't have any rights, I'm not going to go to the police. No, that's not what he's saying here. This is about personal relationship. If you've had an injustice done to you, by all means, deal with it through the legal channels, because you've got to get, that other person needs to know what they've done and be held to account for it. But in our personal relationships with each other, why are we so insistent that me comes before them? See, in the moment of giving up his life for the world, Jesus did not consider his right to the glory of heaven. But he gave himself willingly. He emptied himself and became obedient and took the form of a slave. Became obedient even unto the cross. Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8. And the third thing. Accept impositions. Accept impositions. Verse 41. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Eh? Now, the practice of Roman soldiers was that if they were hauling equipment, big lots of stuff from one place to the next, they could quite literally, and they saw anyone walking along the side of the road, they could, you might have been, you know, it's agricultural society, you might have been ploughing the field or sowing some seed or whatever. They were quite within their rights as soldiers to commandeer you as a kind of a soldier, like a subcontracted soldier, to go and go with them for a certain distance and carry a bunch of stuff for them. And a number of people used to find this quite difficult. They didn't like being commandeered by the Roman soldiers. Because if you think about it, at the time, the Jews hated the Romans. They were oppressive. They insisted on certain things, like this kind of thing. And they considered this kind of imposition as an insult. And Jesus is saying, don't treat this as an insult, but go willingly, as though you had offered to help yourself. And then, when you're there, keep going. Go a bit more. Go more. Go that extra bit. It's a bit like yesterday when my wife was going to get a cracker from the cupboard. And I said, oh, can you get me one as well? And she said, oh, go the extra mile. And she gave me another one. Well, you see, because what? She didn't have to get two. But she gave me, and it blessed me. Because I didn't really want to, but I liked the fact that I had to. It made me feel good. It blessed me. It wasn't, she didn't consider an imposition to go and get some food from the cupboard. Now, people will ask us, in our personal relationships and in the church, in the body of Christ, people will ask us to do stuff. And Jesus is saying, don't consider it an imposition when you're asked to do stuff. But actually, see how you can help even more. Do a bit more. Don't get annoyed. And again, it comes back to that heart reaction. It's our reaction to say, oh, well, I don't really want to do that, actually. Because our rights are more important. Because it's about me. Or is it actually, I want to help, I want to bless some way. Even though I may not want to do it necessarily personally. But the follower of Jesus who has died to self and is not concerned with their own personal feelings lives only to serve. So when these kind of things come along, we've got to accept them cheerfully. And then the last thing he says in verse 42, give to everyone who begs from you and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. And again, this isn't just giving to anybody that asks for money. That's not what Jesus is saying. For example, Don Carson, one of the commentaries that I read, Don Carson's got a great big brain. When he speaks, you have to think about everything that he says because it's so intelligent. I struggle to keep up, but his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount is very good. And he talks about how in the 1970s in Cambridge University, because I think he was over here doing some, because he's from Canada, he was talking about the university students around at the entrance of Cambridge, and you have lots of beggars on the streets wanting And what they did was they preyed on the nice-looking students. They'd go for the ones that they thought, oh yeah, you look soft, I'll get some money off of you. And so, of course, the nice, tender-hearted students, they'd cave and they'd give money. And he relays the story of a doctoral student who eventually gave to about 12 different beggars and ended up going hungry as a result, and hungry and cold and didn't have any clothes because he kept giving to all these beggars. Now, what this student didn't realise is he was giving to fuel their drinking habits. So he ended up plying them with drink without realising it. And that wasn't benefiting for the student, and it wasn't benefiting the beggars either. So the principle here is about not being tight-fisted or penny-pinching with our money, because to be tight-fisted or penny-pinching with our money, that attitude is financially the same as the legalistic understanding of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, says Don Carson. When someone needs something, and we are disposed to help, then we should. If we can make a difference, then we should help. If we can't, we pray for them and we do the best we can. And the great, there's a good story of Tolstoy. This is where Tolstoy got it right. The great Russian writer was passing along a street one day when a beggar stopped him and pleaded for alms. The great Russian searched through his pockets for a coin, as I might, and he found nothing, as also I might, because I just don't carry change. And he regretfully said, "Please don't be angry with me, my brother, but I have nothing with me. If I did, I would gladly give it to you." The beggar's face flamed up and he said, "You have given me more than I asked for. You have called me brother." So even if we don't have the means to help someone, we can still dignify that person with our response, with our presence, and in the way that we speak to them. I think a classic contemporary example of the Tolstoy story is on the streets of Bath. You see the big issue sellers. You might not want a big issue. You might not have £4, because it's quite expensive now to buy one off them. You might not have the money in change to give to them, but you can still talk to them. You can ask them how their day's been. Have they made lots of sales? How are they doing generally? Do they have somewhere to go to sleep tonight? And dignify them with a response. They're humans, just like you and me. They're not any different. And that's really what Jesus is saying here. Don't refuse anyone. Don't be so tight-fisted. Not just with your money, but with your life. And really, that's the crux of what Jesus is saying here. Let's not be tight-fisted with our lives. If we want to be a church without barriers, we've got to be a church that's not tight-fisted with our lives. We've got to be people who live openly. But the only way to do that is to die to self and not constantly insist on our rights. We've got to allow ourselves to be crucified and drowned in the presence of God, so that when things come across our path, things like impositions, things like asking us to do things that we don't want to do, things like somebody insulting us, things like people wanting to take things off us that they shouldn't be taken off us. When these things happen, when we've died to self, it becomes easy to practice not retaliating. Followers of Jesus give up their lives for the sake of others. And it brings us closer to God and it brings us closer to each other. But this isn't a text that we can justify pacifism from. This isn't a text that we can justify all that other stuff I said at the top of the sermon. It's not about the bigger issues. Those things are dealt with by governments. God has given government, Romans 13, for our order. And governments have to do as they see fit. And well, under God. Now, there are times when governments don't get it right, and we do have to stand up. But we can legally do that with petitions and all the rest of it, because we live in that kind of society. But in our personal relationships, Jesus is saying, don't retaliate. Die to self. Live to Christ. It's not about my rights. It's about God. Let's spend a moment in reflection. Father God, as we spend a moment in quiet, may the dross of what I've said, if there be any dross, may it be falling to the ground, and may the truth of your word shine through. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us afresh. At this moment, I want to say that if you are somebody who has had an injustice against you, an injustice, be that in the form of an abuse or anything like that, I want to urge you to talk to somebody about that, and if it hasn't been dealt with from a legal perspective, to deal with that. And we can help you with that if you need to. But I do feel that that's important to say, that if it's been an injustice, we've got to bring it to the law, and it's got to be dealt with. And there are practices where people can forgive prisoners, and it's a restorative justice program, and it's very, very effective for stopping the reoffending rate. I'm not saying that you need to get to that point at this point. I'm saying that if you've never dealt with it legally, and it needs to be dealt with legally, doesn't matter how far back it goes, deal with it. Let's deal with it. Because God doesn't want to see injustice, and he champions the cause of righteousness. But for others of us where we have endured personal insult, where we've endured imposition, where we've been preyed upon by beggars even, or where people in our families have asked for too much, or they've just asked for a bit and we've not been predisposed to help them. Lord, we place before you all the situations where we have and where we normally are usually quite agitated and irritated, and we don't want to help, where we've not died to self. Lord, in those situations, we present ourselves before you. We ask you to examine us, Holy Spirit, afresh. Forgive us, God, when we have insisted on our own rights. Forgive us when we have said, and become very angry when somebody has said something that has hurt us. That person may not even realize that they've said anything that hurt us. Lord, will you forgive us? Lord, will we hear your forgiveness? And Lord, may we learn to forgive those. Lord, where we've allowed ourselves to be doormats, will you come and show us afresh that we are not to be walked all over, but that we serve willingly. Lord, help us to die to self and live to Christ. We give you our hearts, ourselves afresh now. In Jesus' name. Amen.